Hey, this is Mike Bobbitt. I'm a guy who used to make things, and sometimes I still do. These days, I prefer making podcasts, and I have a new one called Soundtrack to My Life. On this podcast, I talk to different creative people about the music that shaped them. Sometimes the conversations are funny, and sometimes they're just kind of sweet.
I love that Pina Colada song. Yeah, I do.
Rihanna has had a huge impact on my songwriting.
I'm diving into the ocean, finding that one fish that has the toxins, and I'm just drinking those toxins all day.
Maybe they're saying, like, you should now go forth and rock. It's like a peace be with you situation.
I also have a playlist called F Jams. One in. To just in case.
We danced to a jazz version of My Favorite Things.
Soundtrack to My Life. It's available exclusive on Spotify. It's a exclusive. I'm going to try to make that word take off. It's a music plus talk show, meaning I can play songs in their entirety. So think of this as an interactive playlist with some of the coolest creative people I know, and you should know too. Soundtrack to My Life, a Spotify exclusive.
Welcome back to Great Lakes Confidential. Hi, Marty.
Hey, Angie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Fantastic.
So this is episode 2 of you returning. How do you feel?
So far, so good. Keeping the good energy rolling.
Yeah. Did you listen to last week's episode?
I haven't had a chance to sit down and listen to it yet.
Okay.
But I was there. I remember how it went.
True. It's funny, I've been listening to a lot of old episodes. Like, I started at the beginning. I just wanted to kind of, like, a couple different reasons. I wanted to, like, hear again, like, the flow of everything. Kind of see, like, where the show started to now. And also for more ideas. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's so many episodes where we're like, oh, we got to come back and talk about this one again. And then it's completely gone out of my head. So I have to start writing that stuff down, I guess, is what I'm saying. But one of the show ideas that we had was talking about the Sioux. So I think I might start researching that one a little bit more because that's such a cool place. And but that's probably going to be a long episode, maybe even a two-parter. But anyways,
well, I'm down for that one.
I know. It's just been really interesting to listen to the old episodes and kind of see, like I said, like the progress and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's cool. But so on last week's episode, I read an email from a listener who talked about the Paulding light. Teresa, I believe her name was. She had asked me if I thought the Paulding light was a good date spot. And as being a spooky girl, I think that it is.
Yeah.
So have you ever seen it yourself?
Me? No, I haven't seen it myself. And I'm kind of surprised we haven't talked about this before, though.
Yeah. Like, well, we brought it up a couple different times and then we just kind of forgot about it.
Like, I know we talked about like haunted roads and things like that and lights and it's sort of a phenomena that happens all across Michigan really. But I think the Paulding lights are probably the most famous example.
In Michigan, I would say definitely. You know what else is interesting? Like, there are so many states in the country that have similar stories of the Paulding light.
We should probably explain what they are.
Yes. All right. So the Paulding light is a light that can be seen in a valley just outside of Paulding, Michigan, which is in the Upper Peninsula. Paulding is an unincorporated community in Ontonagon County along U.S. Route 45. In 2018, the total population of Paulding was 426. So teeny
very
tiny.
Light.
Yeah. Like, there's probably that many people in my neighborhood. So aside from the Paulding light, though, Paulding's other claim to fame would have to be Bond Falls, which is considered one of the most beautiful waterfalls in our state.
Okay.
Are you familiar with Bond Falls at
all? No. I mean, I'm sure I've seen pictures of it, but by name, I'm not familiar.
Yeah, it's very pretty, but it's quite small. Very small compared to
Taquamanon?
Yes.
Yeah.
Taquamanon. Do-do-do-do-do. So, what exactly is the Paulding light? It's pretty much just that. It's a light and Paulding.
It's a ghost light. It's triggered very, very, a ton of ghost stories and ghost theories. Yeah. A phantom light that appears at night.
Yeah, and it was first seen sometime in the 1960s. Some sources state that sightings were actually first recorded in 1966. The most popular explanations have been, as you said, ghosts, but also swamp gases or geologic activity.
Swamp gas is always the big one, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just swamp gas. Can't get back to work.
The light is said to glow white, red, and sometimes even green, and it changes shape.
Ooh.
So when I think of a swamp gas, I think it's probably like, I probably have this image in my head from cartoons, but I think of green.
Yeah, right. Like that noxious cloud.
Yes, exactly. So yeah. Like dark swampy area and then this like bright, like neonish just, green.
Just kind of bubbling up from the water. Like what exactly is a swamp gas?
Exactly.
Like where's the gas coming from? Like I imagine, I mean, I'm no scientist, but what is it? Like the breakdown of organic material, like converting into like methane gas? I don't know.
That would make sense.
Yeah, but I'm no scientist, so.
That's true.
But so that's what a swamp gas is, right? Meanwhile, we're seeing bright lights in Paulding at night.
Yes.
And we're saying that, no, that's a swamp gas. That's what it looks like when organic material breaks down into methane.
Yeah.
And escapes the swamp.
Like a floating ball of light.
Yeah, exactly. A floating ball of light. Something that you see in every swamp, right?
Apparently. How come
these things don't get recorded, like, you know, in Florida or Louisiana? Like, you don't hear about these, like, famous swampy, gassy balls of light floating around. These will-o-wisps floating around the swamps in Louisiana and Florida, do you? You never really hear those stories.
No, and that's a really good point. I didn't think of that when I was researching, but yeah, that's a really good point. So what exactly does a swamp gas look like? Because you can't really see gases anyways.
And it seems to get blamed a lot in Michigan, because Michigan is a very swampy state, even though we call them wetlands here. We're a little above swamps, we're wetlands. But so we have a ton of wetland gas, apparently, that constantly gets confused with ghosts or UFOs or Big Feet or anything. I think it's a very common excuse people use, swamp gas.
Yeah, that is weird.
I've also heard people, like as far as the lights go, it seems like the more obvious answer is traffic lights. Lights coming off of the road, you know, like catching a glimpse of like lights from, you know, cars and whatnot at night.
Right.
And I think that's been mentioned before as a possible reason for the Paulding lights.
It has. So legend says that the light involves the death of a railroad brakeman. Apparently the brakeman was killed while attempting to stop an oncoming train from colliding with railway cars that were stopped on the tracks. The light would have been the lantern the brakeman was using to see where he was walking and to signal the oncoming train. So that's one story.
Do we know anything about this brakeman? Was he successful?
Well,
no idea, huh?
Couldn't have been successful because he's dead.
Right, exactly.
So, no. Brakeman 0, death 1. Another story claims that the ghost is that of a murdered mail courier, while even another story claims it is the ghost of a Native American dancing on the power lines that go through the valley.
Okay.
Some believe the light is a lantern that constantly needs to be relit, which is why it comes and goes. And it's said that that lantern is carried by a grandparent who is looking for his lost grandchild. Some even believe it's something extraterrestrial.
Yeah.
So why is a Native American dancing on power lines?
I don't know. That sounds a little crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, how do you get those two things? I mean, I could see, okay, Native American ghost, power lines. Like, why those two mixed together? Why didn't we put the old man on the power lines looking for his grandson?
Yeah.
It's kind of strange.
So you'll know you're in the right spot to see the Paulding light by the guardrail spray painted with the words Paulding light, as well as a plaque in the area that states, this is the location from which the famous Paulding light can be observed. Legend explains as presence as a railroad brakeman's ghost, destined to remain forever at the site of his untimely death. He continually waves his signal lantern as a warning to all who come to visit. To observe the phenomenon, park along this forest road facing north. The light will appear each evening in the distance along the power line right of way. Remember, other people will be visiting this location. Please do not litter.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good to me. I do like the fact that they have a sign for it and they've embraced it, because it seems like in a lot of places where they do have these strange phenomena happening that people want to drive out to see, they kind of discourage people from doing so.
Right.
So it's very cool that the people in Paulding have actually, you know, helped facilitate the average person to show up and see these lights. I'm sure you can also have a little cottage industry. Like, I don't know about any of the businesses in Paulding, but I'm sure, you know, somebody has to have cashed in.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, for a town of 400 and, you know, 400 some odd people, I'm sure I know it's a tourist attraction because, like, you know, like the different stories that I read, there's always groups of people out there. So there's a lot of people coming through. So it's very interesting. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, obviously, without ever going up there, I don't know, like, how big of a, like, do they have, I saw the Paulding light and all I got was this t-shirt, you know, like.
Right, yeah. It's just one more thing in a chain of, like, things to do when road tripping through the UP, which, yeah, a lot of fun, a lot of things to do. You go, you know, you can only eat probably two or three pasties. So you got to do other things, right? You see the Paulding lights. You go up to the Porcupine Mountains. You go see the painted rocks. You go to see all the waterfalls. You go see the lights, right?
Yeah.
The locks, the bridge. There's a lot of more stuff than that to do in the UP, but you know what I mean. That's one little thing on the path while driving around. One neat little thing.
It's crazy because there's so many different things to do up there, but they're so far apart that it's like, it's, you know, if you want to hit up every little thing, you're going to be up there for a good week.
Right. I mean, you think about it like this, like the UP is almost as wide as the Lower Peninsula is tall.
Yeah.
And I think it takes a good 5 hours, you know, driving across it to go from end to end. So
yeah, that's a long,
I mean, and that's just a straight shot out. You know, that's not even driving around, seeing anything, making any cool stops anywhere.
Yeah. There's Whitefish Point up there that you can see. You can go all the way up to the Keweenaw.
Yeah.
Plus all the islands out there. Yeah. You'd be out there forever.
Right. Which sounds like heaven.
I wonder how many people have actually like checked all of the Upper Peninsula tourist spots off their list.
I mean, I guess it all depends on, you know, you probably have to classify each one. Like, these are the class A attractions. These are the class B attractions. These are, you know, there's just so much stuff to do. It just harkens back to that good old age of, you know, road travel, road trips.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Yeah. I'd like to be the person that is put in charge of distinguishing class A, class B, class C. Give me that job.
You have that job. You should write a book, The Great Lakes Confidential Guide to Class A, Class B, and Class C Tourist Attractions Throughout the Upper Peninsula.
You and Mike are going to have me outside of every single comfort zone that I have right now. He wants to do a live show. You want me to write a book. This is crazy. You're growing.
Yeah. Look at came from and look at where you are today.
So what is the Paulding Light? Our listeners don't want to know. Probably should stop listening from this point on. I'm going to get into it.
The spoilers.
All the spoilers.
Oh, boy.
I know.
Can I log off? No, here we go.
He just disappears.
Yeah. Don't want to know.
If you don't want to know, just stop listening. So in 2010, some brainiacs from Michigan Tech University, MTU, decided to go on a little expedition to debunk the ghost theories. They used cameras, light meters, high-powered telescopes, all kinds of different equipment, and they left with, quote, empirical evidence to say that the Paulding light is just headlights from a car.
Boo.
It's a mirage, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, you know what? Even if you figured it out, why not keep it to yourself?
That's what I was thinking.
Right. Like, people enjoy it. People enjoy the mystery and the attraction of it. The people of Paulding enjoy having, you know, people come by and recognize.
Exactly. So Like, that was my very first thought. Like, even if you, like, okay, why would you spend the money to debunk something like this? Like, you know that people are really enjoying this.
Right, bunch of killjoys.
And you
got to
be a buzzkill.
Right. Killjoys. That's how I feel about everything. Ghost hunters. And
yeah.
Bigfoot hunters. You know, yeah. Even if you find evidence one way or the other, keep it to yourself. Let everyone right. else enjoy the mystery.
Exactly. So, according to Michael Rogeman, Michigan Tech Emeritus Professor of Electrical Engineering, quote, a regular mirage is really just light that originated from the sky, refracted upwards towards your eye due to a sharp temperature gradient in the air close to the surface. So in a BBC article from October 2023 entitled The Paulding Light, a U.S. Mystery You Can See But Not Touch, Rogeman suggests the geography and local weather around the viewing path supports frequent temperature inversions in the early evening when there's always traffic on the highway. The result is an upside-down optical illusion. Car headlights from the pole line of view in Paulding lining up with the highway while refracting and bending back toward the ground. The effect happens to be uniquely visible from the spot where fans gather.
So the story here is, so why is the weather changing?
Yeah.
maybe that's the story. Maybe we need to talk about the Paulding weather anomaly, that little right. spot where the temperatures change and screw with the lights from coming from cars.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's clearly, I mean, if that's what's happening, that's a little weird too.
Yeah, maybe we need to reframe it, the Paulding temperature anomaly. Come witness the Paulding temperature anomaly.
So on TripAdvisor, there are actually some reviews of the Paulding light, which are kind of fun. I figured I would read some. So this first one says, I've been to the Paulding light probably about 50 times over the years. Some nights you hardly see anything, but twice I've had more exciting experiences. Once there were maybe three other groups of people and the light was pretty active, moving around and changing from red to white. So a few of our group decided to trek down the trail a bit. While walking, the light turned bright white and seemed really close to us. And then it quickly changed to bright green and seemed to be only a few yards in front of us. We hightailed it out of there. Last night was the spookiest experience I've had. There was one other group out there when we arrived. New moon, darker than dark outside. The light was very active. It appeared to be swirling around, waving side to side, coming closer, going further away, bright and clear. I have never seen it so active. The other group left after about 30 to 40 minutes, but we stayed. It was a crisp 58 degrees. We were sitting on the tailgate backed right up to the barrier. The light seemed really close to us and seemed to be almost copying the light of our cigarettes and getting closer and closer. Suddenly, the wind picked up quite a bit and the temperature dropped what felt like 10 degrees. The light was getting bigger and closer than I had ever seen it. One of our friends said, "Go away." And the wind immediately slowed down, the light faded, and the temperature rose. That's when I had enough. In all my time seeing the light, I never felt scared. This time was quite different. I do not believe the debunked headlight scheme. That's for sure. Super exciting phenomenon.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? And I mean, again, I don't know if that really debunks anything because it's talking about the weather. Didn't explain the whole weather change. Maybe that's a ghost making the temperatures rise right. and dip. Maybe that's what ghosts do. Who knows?
Well, and so many people that have had, you know, experiences with the paranormal say that the temperature drops considerably. Yeah. So there is that change in temperature associated with ghosts or, you know, any other spirit.
Demons happened in The Exorcist.
That's true.
So that maybe that reviewer had reason to be scared.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. This other review says, back when I was in high school, a group of us headed out to check out the light. We parked at the top of the hill. This was way before the barrier was put up. And we sat in the vehicle, quiet as church mice. We saw the light go from one red light bouncing left to right, spanning the road. That light disappeared and returned as two red lights bouncing left to right, but opposite of each other on the road. Then it disappeared and returned a few seconds later as a bright white light. The quieter we were, the closer it seemed to move towards the vehicle. Another car came down the road to see the light and it disappeared. We decided to walk down the road. The other vehicle that showed up said they would flash their headlights if and when they saw it, so we would know it was visible. Back then, where the creek is now, it used to be a ravine with a small walking trail across it. We got to the end of the road and hung out looking for the light with no sight of it. The vehicle kept sporadically flashing their lights to tell us they could see it, but we didn't. After about a half hour or so, we headed back to our vehicle. We got to the ravine and I decided to go first. I made it about a quarter of the way across the path when all of a sudden my friends told me to stop. I asked them why and they said there was a red light to my left of the ravine. I froze. Not even a second after they said that, a small ball of bright white light jumped onto the walking path, not even 3 feet in front of me, blocking my way across. The temperature went from around 70 degrees to so cold we could see our breath. Wow. I freaked out and backstepped until I reached my friends. Within a few moments, the light disappeared again, and we hightailed it back up the hill to our vehicle. The people in the vehicle said they had just seen that light, bigger, brighter, and closer to them than it had been all night. I have been there multiple times since then, and I have never had another experience as up close and amazing as this one.
Wow. Yeah, the more I hear these reviews, the less I believe Michigan Tech story.
Yeah, I mean, reading them just kind of gave me goosebumps. Like,
yeah,
you know, and like we said, like some people say it's swamp gas. Some are saying that it's a ghost or a spirit. And then Michigan Tech is like, oh, no, it's headlights. I don't know what it is, but the fact that like it appears and then gets closer and then disappears and then changes, like changes colors, white to red to green.
With a temperature change thrown in there. That's what baffles me.
Yeah.
Like, how is that? Like, you said you debunked it, but again, we still got this whole temperature change thing going on. Like, how is that happening?
Right. And you're right. As scientists, why didn't they say, well, we believe it's lights, but the temperature is dropping considerably. Like, why not do some measuring and some investigating on that to see if the temperature is actually, like, is the temperature actually dropping, or are you freaked out and thinking that the temperature is dropping? So like get a thermometer or something out there to read the, you know, to actually gauge the temperature. Duh.
Right. I mean, I don't know. It all sounds crazy. And again, I'm also biased because I don't want to ruin the mystery.
I'm biased because I'm biased because I believe in spooky phenomenon and like, who am I to say that
college educated buzzkill coming in here and telling us what ghosts are and what they ain't. Right. Get out of here.
Get out of here with your ghost denying.
Right. Go back to Houghton.
Who needs that?
Right.
Not me. Not this girl. Mm-mm. Give me all the ghosts. Give me all the spirits.
Right. Actually, just not when I'm trying to sleep though.
Please don't. Yeah. I shouldn't have said that out loud.
No. Now you're screwed. Now you're screwed. Now you did it.
I think like there's nights when I feel like there's somebody in my apartment.
Yeah.
And there's not. And I know that there's not because this place is so small. I can pretty much see every inch of the apartment from where I sit. So there's nothing in here. But like every now and again, I'll get up in the middle of the night to like use the bathroom or something. And I'll feel like I'm being watched. And so I'll just be like I'll say out loud, hey, I'm just going to the bathroom and then I'm going to get back in bed and go to sleep. Like, just
divert your eyes.
Yeah. Just don't mess with anything. And, you know,
yeah.
And then like, I don't feel it anymore. So I don't know if I'm super cuckoo bird crazy or if there's a spirit in here, but like, I don't want to investigate like the history to find out if somebody died in here.
Right. I mean, let's be honest. Humanity has been around for what?
A couple years.
Hundreds of thousands of years, whatever. I mean, there's got to be ghosts everywhere.
I'm sure.
Well tonight.
Yeah. And that's why we record so early in the day. So, yeah, that's the story of the Paulding Light. So, I don't know.
Yeah, you decide.
I'm interested to know if any of our listeners have ever been up there.
But yeah, let's hear some experiences, some firsthand accounts.
Yeah.
All the Paulding lights or other lights you may have seen.
Yeah, like I know on Haunted Roads we talked about the light. Was it Denton Road?
Yeah, the old Denton Road before they paved it and built a bunch of homes around it.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever heard of any other experiences like that with lights in the state. Not that I can think of, but I'm sure that there's more.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
What is it? Isn't there lights on Seven Gables Road? Are there lights on that out near Lansing?
I don't remember. That's a haunted lights. Road. Yeah.
I don't remember if we got too deep into that one, but.
No, we kind of touched on it, but I don't know if there was. I don't remember there being lights on it, but I could be wrong.
All right. Well, listeners, if you know of any other roads with lights, ghost, phantom, swamp gas lights, let us know.
Swamp gas lights?
Yeah.
I still need to know what swamp gas looks like because I
don't. Yeah.
Ghost. Or not ghost, gas doesn't have like a, you can't see it. You can see like vapors.
Yeah, I don't mean to be crass, but it just sounds like farts at that point. Swamp gas.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's probably most likely Bigfoot farts.
Right. It's just a fart ghost. Go back to bed.
Yeah, exactly. It's a fart ghost. Go back to bed.
Oh, that's the worst kind of ghost is a fart ghost.
A bedtime fart ghost?
Yeah.
You know what the best kind of farts are?
What's that?
Walking farts.
Walking farts?
Yeah.
Get away from them?
Just absolutely hysterical to me. I was talking to a salesperson at work about walking farts yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I was like crying laughing. Like
they got their own little rhythm.
Every step you take.
Yeah, we just can't escape it.
It's just...
Where are we going with this? Welcome to Fart Town.
I don't know.
Great Listen. Farts confidential.
Yeah, so if our listeners have any idea what swamp gas looks like, love to hear it.
Yeah.
Love
or if you got a great fart story.
Or you got a great fart story, love to hear that too. I am I am not mature enough to not laugh about farts.
Right.
Like, who let's be real.
Turn down a good fart story.
I, when I managed a home care company, I was expected to talk to somebody about their body odor. And I was like, like, you guys all know I can't do this, right? Like, I can't do this without giggling. Like, right. I'm that immature. Am I 43? Yes. Are farts still funny? Absolutely.
What was their body odor like?
Gross. Offensive.
Terrible.
Not good.
Like, Bigfoot bad?
Maybe not Bigfoot bad, but... You know, bad enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bad enough that it warranted a conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, I'm excited because next week, I'm going to talk to somebody from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Make-A-Wish Michigan. Yeah? We're doing the Make-A-Wish Walk May 4th with my job. And okay. So it is at the zoo in Royal Oak, the Detroit Zoo. And so I will be having a chat with Miss Jody from Make-A-Wish Michigan, and we'll be learning a little bit about Make-A-Wish and
the walk. That's fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be very cool. So I think maybe I'll actually post a link to my team on the Facebook page so that if anybody is interested in contributing, mm-hmm. The goal this year for Make-A-Wish Michigan is 500 wishes.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they granted 475, I think it was.
All right. So you need 25 more this year?
Adding 25 more this year. So if anybody is interested in more information about that, they can look up Make-A-Wish Michigan on the Google machine. But yeah, after when I post that episode, I think what I'll do is record it and post it early just to make sure I get the word out a couple days ahead of time because the walk is like coming up very quickly. So. That's all I got.
Sounds good. Good. Well, cool. You got a lot going on. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So, yeah, you guys take it easy out there. Enjoy the spring. It was snowing this morning while the sun was shining. So it was a little weird.
Yeah.
But we're trying. Spring is trying.
It's almost here.
Yeah. So enjoy and be safe. Watch for deer. Probably little baby deer is coming out soon.
Yeah.
And text us when you get home.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.